Perek Mem, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, everyone knows these words. This is the Haftarah from Shabbos Nachamu, Parshas Veschanan, right after Tisha B'Av. And this begins in a new section of Sefer Yeshayah. Rashi, in fact, let's read the first Rashi. Rashi, Nachamu, Nachamu, Chozer al Nevuosav Hoasidos. He's now returning to the prophecies referring to the future. In the past, most of the Sefer, that's what the prophecy is. The prophecy is what's going to happen in the future. In the last couple of parakim, starting with Perek Lamed Vav, we had a narrative. This is really the source of what we have in Sefer Melachim, the story of Sancheirib, the details, not a prophecy, just exactly a description of what happened, a record of the events that happened at that period of time with Sancheirib and Chizkiyahu and Yeshayah and his illness and the various prayers by Yeshayah and by Chizkiyahu and the aftermath of the fall of Sancheirib and so on and so forth. Now we are returning to the theme of Perek Lamed Hei. What was the first 25 or 35 parakim of this Sefer? Prophecies about the future. But by and large, the prophecies about the future, the first 35 parakim, were about Peronos, punishment. What's going to happen to Klal Yisrael at the time of the Churban, the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, and there are hidden references to the Churban Bayis Sheni, and what's going to happen to this nation, to Edom, to Moab, to Gesundheit, to the Polishtim, Gesundheit, and all the nations that has contributed to the Tzara, to the Golos of Klal Yisrael. What's going to be their punishment? For the Shparuch Hu is going to give every nation punishment, Mida, Kenegan Mida. So the first 35 parakim deal with prophecies relating to the future, but prophecies of Puranus. Now we're going to return to the theme of prophecies relating to the future, but now we're going to discuss prophecies of comfort, of Nechama for Klal Yisrael, what's going to be when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, when Mashiach will come, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return His Shechina to rest upon Klal Yisrael. So the words of Rashi are, Chozer al Nevuosav Hoasidos. And that refers to Perek Lamed, the first 35 parakim. We had a break of Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches, Lamed Tes, Lefish, and Ikan, Vyat Sef HaSef. From here on, until the end of the Sefer, Divrei Nechomois, we're going to have words of comfort. And in fact, Chazal tell us, coolest, the entire Sefer Yeshayah is Divrei Nechoma. It's hard to understand what that means, since the first 35 parakim is not so much a Nechoma, it's more of a of Puranis, but this is the main, the Sefer's called is described based upon what we have until the end of the Sefer, and therefore Hivsik Parsha. So we have this Parsha. Parsha means Parsha, which you know in your Nevi'im, which have a Teira Samacha, Parsha Stuma, Parsha Psucha. We have here two psukim. That's what it means by these two psukim. Nachmu Nachmami in Pasuk Beis Dabru, and then we have a Samach, which means it's a Parsha Stuma. Which means that in the Navi there are nine, there's a gap of nine letters, of a blank space, which equal to nine letters on the line. It does, the parasha, the next parasha does not begin on a new line, it begins on the end of the same line. So we have these two psukim serve here as a transition between Hivsik Parasha Zu Beinam Lebein HaPuranus, not period. Nachmu Atem Nevi'ai, Nachmu es Ami, and that's the instruction. Hashem is now introducing what we're going to learn. Hashem is instructing the prophets. It's not only Yeshayah. He's instructing a group of prophets. Who are the prophets? We don't know. We only have recorded a very handful of prophets that their prophecies were recorded for forever. But we are certain that they were, Chazal tell us, they were 1,200,000 prophets that gave over, revealed things to Klal Yisrael, but for whatever reason, their prophecies were not recorded because it was not necessary for us. There was nothing for us in later generations to learn from. It was for the time. Only things that were said by Yeshayah, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Yeshayahu, and so on and so forth, those prophecies had a message for us today, here living in Hey Allah from Tavshin Ayin days. There's a message for us to learn. For sometimes it's very difficult to uncover the message, but we have faith that there is a message, and that's why it's been preserved. And that's what, but here the pasuk is addressing a group of people who were speaking to them at that generation, that time, and of course in subsequent generations when the Jewish people needed some chizuk, some encouragement to get through the difficult times.
So Yeshayahu is addressing future prophets?
What?
Yeshayahu is addressing future prophets?
No. It could be that also. That could be. I mean, the prophets didn't last much longer than, I mean, how many more years the prophets live? Last for another 150 years? Not much more than that. Prophecy of Chabad Yisrael was Harv 125 years after Yeshaya, after the Smite of Sancheirib, and then we have 70 years of Chorban, and then we have the building of the Bayis Sheni, and surely towards the very beginning of Bayis Sheni is where prophecy came to an end. So
what's Rashi mean by Atem Nevi'ai?
You, my prophets. Nachamu Atem, you, my prophets. In plural. There are many prophets. There are many prophets that are living during this period of time, and they are being instructed by Yeshai, or being by Hashem. Yoimar Elokechem. Hashem is speaking to all of the prophets. Simply means Hashem is speaking. Yeshai is not speaking. Hashem is speaking to all of the prophets and telling them, I want you to go out and give comfort to my people, encourage them, and tell them some good news. Everything should not just be gloom and doom. There should be words of encouragement as well. Nachamu, nachamu, Ami, I instruct you. Give comfort to my nation. Yoimar is the present tense. Hove. Yoimar Elokechem, so says your God. Your God says to the God of the prophets. The God of the prophets is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is giving them an instruction that you should go and give comfort to my people. Why the repetition? Nachamu, nachamu, ami. So Rashi and others say, and the Mesudas brings this down, is that it's a nevuah, a nechama for the churban bayis rishon, and a churban for the bayis sheni. Even though the bayis sheni has not yet been built, over here the bayis rishon is still standing. But that's all part of the prophecy, is that there's going to be a golus from Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, and ultimately Bavel will fall in the hands of Modai Uparas, and then it will be rebuilt, and you'll go through Tsaris of Yavon, and ultimately there'll be a nation called Edom, and Edom will destroy the Bayis Sheni, and then you'll be enter a long golus, which we are still in the middle of. And Hashem says, Nachamu, Nachamu, I want you to have comfort, that I want to give you encouragement to get through the difficult times of the Bayis, Churban Bayis Rishon. It doesn't really say the word Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, means the difficulty of the Golus of Bavel and of Edom. Because, you know, there was Modai Paras. Modai did not destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And Paras was instrumental in rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. And Yavon was a very great threat to Klal Yisrael, but Yavon did not destroy the Beis Hamidash. Yavon, the Golus of Yavon was a short period of time. About 300 years was the reign of the Malchus of Yavon. They had shlita over the world and they had influence over Klal Yisrael, but they did not succeed in destroying the Beis Hamidash. The ones that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, the two of the four that get all the credit was Bavel and Edom. So one Nachamu addresses Bavel, and the other Nachamu is addressing the Tsaris of Edom. Yoimar Elokechem, I saw a beautiful Jewish in the Sefer Be'uri HaChasidus. What is the Nechama? Nachamu, because there's repetition. There's repetition is always very difficult when we have repetition in the Pasuk. So the repetition is, give them comfort. And the comfort should be Ami. That you know in Golos, that you are my nation. You are the chosen nation. You are the Am HaNivchar. That should serve for you as the ultimate comfort. Nachamu, what is the comfort that you should give? Nachamu Ami. The comfort is that you should know and be aware that you, Klal Yisrael, are my nation. All the other nations, they're not my nation. They are just nations. They're just one of many. They're not mine. You are mine, and that should serve as the ultimate comfort. Okay, the pasuk goes on, Dabru. Hashem now speaks. Dabru, Hashem is addressing the prophets, plush and plural. Speak, Dabru, all of you prophets, speak. Al Lev Yerushalayim, on the heart. Now there are different interpretations what this means. So Rabbi Mitzudah says it means Dvar Mahame Kubalim Al Halev. Say things which will be accepted. to the people Yerushalayim, I guess means to the people living in Yerushalayim. Speak comforting words that will penetrate their heart. The people living in Yerushalayim, v'kiru elecha, and speak to it, and say the following. The time will come, ki mala tzivaah, its tzivaah will be filled. We'll translate those words in a moment. Ki nirtza avona, its sins have been forgiven. Why? Ki lakcha miyad Hashem, and has received from Hashem kiflayim, double, b'chol chatoisecha, for all of its sins. Now what does it mean, mala tzivaah? It's a very difficult word to translate. Mitzudos and Rashi, and sending the second shot in Perush from Rashi, it means it's time. That Golus has a set time. Golus is not forever. Everything is calculated. We know the Ita Achishena, that no matter what, there's a set time when Hashem will not allow us to remain in Golus. That is the Ita, whatever that means. We really do not know what that means. There's a tradition that it means the year 6000, but that we don't really know what that means. There have been many times in the history of Klal Yisrael where there have been certain dates. And we thought we know what the date was, and then when that date arrived, nothing happened. What?
Date passed,
nothing happened. I remember I once heard a shift from Verizon, and one of his Mr. Shabbos, he gave a shiur. He went through. I don't remember the details. Could have even been 10 times in the history of Klal Yisrael where they had a tradition about a certain date, and the date passed. And everyone just was demoralized. Like, how could it be? The date has passed and nothing happened. I think one of the earliest examples was Shevet Ephraim. They were living in Egypt. The Shibud, it was a tradition, is going to be in Egypt for 400 years. And they made some calculation. I don't know what the calculation was. I remember the details. And the time came, and they felt now is the time when we have to leave Egypt. It's the Zman Geula. And they left, and they just picked themselves up, and they felt they would be successful. And they left Egypt, and they were slaughtered. There was a massacre because they were not allowed. The Egyptians did not take this kindly that a group of people are just going to escape from bondage. And it was how could this happen? But we have a tradition that after 400 years we're going to go free. And according to our calculation, the year 400 has occurred, so it's now time. Obviously, their calculation was wrong. Okay, there are many examples of this. I don't know the details, but. We have a tradition, there is a tradition of probably Chazal, year 6000, which means we don't have that many years left. But we don't exactly know what that means. So we shouldn't hold anything, nothing is etched in stone from our perspective. And that's what it means over here, Kimolot Siva'ah. But of course, there's Achishen. If we merit, we can hasten the Gula, we can bring the Gula before it's the latest point in time. And that's what the word Siva'ah, it's an unusual word, it means here, Zaman. I don't really know the sharish of how the word tzvah comes from, but that's how they all translate it. We look at the mitzvah sion tzvah inyonoi ziman kotzov v'chein halo tzvah l'anosh. He quotes another pasuk in Iyov where the word tzvah is also used in the context of ziman. Again, more than exact sharish, I'm not familiar why in both of these places these letters mean the word ziman, but that's what it does mean. The time has come. Your time has come, and now I will bring about events so that you will be redeemed. You will all come to Eretz Yisrael, and the Shechinah will rest among you, and the Midrash will be rebuilt. Another interpretation is tzva means an army, which host means it means like a tzva haganah liYisrael. Right? We have the Israeli army, tzahal. It means an army. An army. It's all over Tanakh. Kadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, whenever we have the word Hashem tzvakos. So the word tzva kos means Hashem in His role as a general in waging war. He is in control of the troops, of the battalions, of the soldiers in the army. Tzva means an army. So here in this context, the Targum says it means the people. It means Klal Yisrael is one big army. The Tzva is Hashem. If you ever were a Lubavitch, you know that is the Tzva is Hashem. I was once a member as a child, but I had a card. I was very proud. I had a card. I used to always keep it with me in my wallet. And in fact, I was from the, well, it revealed my age, but I was from the first members. I'm a veteran. I was from the first members of Tzivos Hashem when they first created this program 1,000 years ago. So there is the Tzivos Hashem. Okay, there's something to it.
Klal Yisrael. On the parade.
Yeah, I used to go to those. I remember the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I remember, I wasn't far from it. I remember clearly, we were in like the stadium. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing the Lubavitcher Rebbe. It wasn't so far. I would say like from here. here to where the bima is, with Amudus, that's how far that's I was. I remember he was standing in the gate. This long drasha went on forever and ever and ever.
Uh-huh.
This long sicha. And yeah, those in the gate had bows and arrows. It was very nice. And music. I haven't gone to a Lubavitch, to a parade. Such a long time. So Klal Yisrael, there's some truth to that concept. It's Tzivos Hashem. Must be a Chazal. The pasuk Klal Yisrael is one big army. So that's what it means. Ki Mola Tziva Mola means Yerushalayim. According to the Targum, the Mola is the word Mola. Is these two words Mola Tziva is referring back to the Lev Yerushalayim. I translate the words Lev speak to the people who are distant citizens of we are all citizens of Yerushalayim. It's just that we happen to be on vacation living in America, right? So we are all people that are residents of Yerushalayim. It's just that we don't happen to actually always be present in Yerushalayim. So Lev means speak words of comfort to the people of Yerushalayim, meaning to Klal Yisrael. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is no. Speak to Yerushalayim itself. Yerushalayim, we give Yerushalayim characteristics of a human being, and tell Yerushalayim, stop mourning. And we notice in the kinnis, there's one of the kinnis we have, there's a medrash where Yerushalayim appears as a woman, as a widow dressed in black, and she was crying. And Yirmiyah, when Nevi'im met her, why are you crying? And the Yerushalayim has been transformed into a human being in the form of a widow dressed in black. So here, that's exactly what we're doing. According to this interpretation, that Yerushalayim is a human being, and Yerushalayim is sad, it's crying, and the Navi Yeshayahu or Nevi'im are being given instructions to speak to this woman that's dressed in black, that is in a state of mourning over her churban. Give her comfort. Say to her uplifting words and tell her, do not worry. Ki malot tziva, the day will come where her army, her host, all of the people of Klal Yisrael, the millions and tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people, tziva, her army will one day fill her up. They will one day return to Yerushalayim and occupy Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim will be filled with her army, with the Tzivos Hashem, with the people of Klal Yisrael. That's a second interpretation. A third interpretation, Tziva, means her mission, her duty. Now that also is borrowed from the word an army, because what is an army? An army has a purpose. When you have an army, you have a battalion. They're sent out into the field to accomplish something, to conquer a piece of territory, to serve as security for a city. An army, a group of people, a tzva, has a purpose, has a mission. And that's here what it means in this message, Kimola tzva, the time will come when your mission of Golos, the mission of going into Golos, will be complete. Why did Hashem send us into Golos? So, obviously, it's a punishment. We really belong in Yerushalayim. And we should be serving Hashem, we should be based on HaMikdash. And by doing that, everything will be perfect. Of course, that's the Iker. But there is a hidden, there are many layers of interpretation for every pasuk and every event that happens in this world. The reason why we have been sent into Golis is because Hashem, deep down, has a mission for us. He wants us to go into the world, to leave temporarily the comfort of our home in Yerushalayim, and go throughout the world and influence the Ummah of Solom. You don't think for a moment that New York City is different because there are, I don't know how many million Jews living in New York City and how many Orthodox Jews. You don't think that the whole climate, the moral climate of New York City is completely different? What would it be if all there would be, no, there wouldn't be one Jew in New York City, one Jew in America? There would be a different America. Forget about money. Forget about the economy. Everyone jokes about the economy, but the Jews control the economy. Forget about that. Forget about all the jokes. Just talk about the moral climate of society. It's a New York, a guy in New York is a different guy because of the number of Orthodox Jews living in New York. And a non-religious Jew in New York City is different because there are religious Jews living in New York City. There's a trickle-down effect. There's a trickle-down effect which cannot be defined scientifically, but it's there. It's there. There is some hashpah that that is an Orthodox Jew walks on the street, he does a mitzvah, he conducts himself in a certain way, it has an effect on people, whether you realize it or not. And that is the larger picture of Golus, for the Jewish people to leave Yerushalayim and spread out through the world, live a Torah-dika life, and people take note, and they're different. They're different in their own way. They're not mechuyev in tayag mitzvos, obviously. They're mechuyev in sheva mitzvos nei noach, or at least they're influenced to recognize, even subconscious recognition, that there is a creator. There is a Ribbono Shel Olam that controls the world. It's a different world.
Are there any mafarshim that say that Nachamu, Nachamu repeated goes on the divided house of Israel?
Interesting. I didn't see that, but could very well be. I'm very limited in what I look at to prepare. There are so many mafarshim. That's a very interesting idea, referring to Shomron, referring to the Aseret HaShvatim, referring to Yerushalayim. Absolutely, because we do find that. We do find that theme in many places. Aholava, Aholiva, in Yecheskel, and absolutely. That's another idea. You want to say the repetition is for the Aseret HaShvatim, the Malchus of Yisrael, the Malchus of Yehuda, both are being covered. Absolutely.
It's very.
Ami, my nation. Two parts of one large nation. Absolutely. That's a very nice idea. But this idea, will include this thought, this theme is Molot Sevah. Your mission is complete. Mission accomplished. You've gone out into the world, Golus. Arba Kanfoy Sa'aretz. Jews are found. There's a Chabad house wherever you go. Wherever you go, there's a Chabad house. Wherever you go, you have influenced the world. And now, after a certain period of time, your mission is complete. That's what it means. Molot Sivah. Your mission is complete, and therefore come home, return to Yerushalayim. It's time for the Shechinah to rest in its full glory and for the Mikdash to be rebuilt. So Sach HaKol, I've given you three interpretations for the word Kimolot Tzeva. It's very important, because this is the important problem, almost the most famous Haftarah. Who's not vacationing somewhere Shabbos Nachamu? And Shabbos Nachamu, sneak over here. Kimola, the second pasuk. Dabra Levi Yerushalayim v'kiruleh Kimola. So, what does it mean? Kimola. Three interpretations. Either it means the time has come. Be'ita achishena. It's a time. Everything has a time limit. Everything is calculated. Either the end of days have come, or Chachman also will not be worthy, and the time is over. Or the time has come earlier. Achishena zman. Second interpretation, Molot Tzeva, means literally it's been filled up. Your numbers, your company. Don't cry, Yerushalayim. Even though now it's desolate, especially during those Tkufas now history. Today, Yerushalayim, how many Jews? There are about 6 million Jews living today in Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, Ken Yirbu, 6-7 million Jews. But there were periods of time in history where there was no one living there. During the time, 52 years between the Bayit Hashem, I think it says in Chazal, there was zero, not even one Jew living in Eretz Yisrael. Can you imagine such a thing?
What about Pekiyim? They say there's a community called Pekiyim that there was never a time when there was no Jew.
Even during those 52 years?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know. Could be. But generally speaking, it's in Chazal, in Tanakh, that during, after the Churban Bayis Rishon, after Tzom Gedalia, after Gedalia, even after the Churban Bayis Rishon, it wasn't over. There was a community. There was still. They even have the exact numbers. It says in Sefer Melachim. But after the murder of Gedalia, what we commemorate on the day after Rosh Hashanah, Tzom Gedalia, it seems to indicate in the pasuk, in Psukim, that, I mean, that was it. It was curtains. And how long did that last for? No one living there, if anyone, for 52 years. And then they began to come back, and then shortly thereafter, they began to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash 70 years. Yeah.
An idea just struck me. You know, the Puritans, when they founded the Massachusetts Bay Colony, whatever it was called at that time, they founded it as to be a light, like a city on a hill. they're drawing from Tanakh. And
absolutely,
from
whole America.
And their whole idea, so I'm thinking, not only do we look at our hashba on the nations around us, but if we're talking about the divided house of Israel, who says that the Puritans aren't lost Ephraimites or something like that?
I don't know, I'm not familiar. I'm not familiar with these ideas.
I'm saying, who would we be if we didn't have America?
Okay, Columbus, there's a lot of new research. I remember when I was in college, I had a professor. He was a world-class professor. He won all different awards. I don't know exactly all the different names. And he discussed with us briefly, because there were a few religious guys, Chaim Berlin, in class, about Columbus, if Columbus was a Jew, was a Jewish. So this is many years ago. So he discussed with us all of the research, the modern research, and he basically showed us that lo hayu dvar le'olam. It's impossible. It's nonsense. It's impossible. Columbus was definitely not Jewish. Definitely not Jewish. I mean, he made such an impression. He was a very big scholar. He knew everything that was written on the topic at that time, and he went through it and he showed us that this is flawed. This is wrong. That's wrong. This is inaccurate. And he dismissed it. But very recently, there's been new things, new research that seems to indicate with Klak of Hevach that he was Jewish. Could be he was even religious. He was religious. And there's like solid stuff. There's even R of things published recently. So let's not get into America. America is So I just want to point out these three interpretations. Keep that in mind. Zman, actual people, a collection of people who will occupy Yerushalayim. And the third interpretation is mission. Your mission has been accomplished. Ki nirtza avino, your sins have been forgiven. To Galus, our sins are forgiven. All of the difficulties of Galus. Other Mepharshim say, I swear, Jewish, like a Chassid Shavar, dear Tzavayna, that when a person does tshuva me'ava, then the sins turn into zuchuyos. Person does tshuva me'ira from fear, then the zuchuyos, then your sins are just overlooked. They are forgotten about. But when if a person does tshuva me'ahava from love, then the sins actually turn into merits, into merit for a person. So here, that's what it means over here. Ki nirtza avoyna. The sins have now been nirtza. They have now been accepted. Meaning it's an expression, nirtza is an expression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually looks at the sins as a source of merit for the Jewish people. That would mean the time will come when Klal Yisrael will do tshuva me'ava out of love and will be uplifted to a higher level. And here it's very difficult with this part of the part, what this means, that the Jewish people have received from Hashem kiflayim, double b'chol chatosech, of all of her sins. Now the question is why? Why should we receive double? Right? Why should we receive double for our sins? Because Hashem only punishes a person according to what he deserves. Hashem does not give a person a drop more punishment than what he deserves. So what does it mean double? So the Mitzvah's David says very simply means Kiflaim Ratzalema, Shte Golios, Golos Babel, Golos Ramulos. I guess that refers to, I'm not sure, Ramulos, I guess it refers to the Golos of Edom, or the Golos of Edom. So that's what it means. Kiflaim means that there's been a Churban twice. He's not telling us that Hashem is giving us more, double than what we deserve. We only get exactly what we deserve, but it means in the history, we have received a double blow. Obviously, it's a prophecy. When you interpret the pasuk in such a method, it's a very frightening prophecy, because at the time that Yeshaya is speaking these words, the Bayis Rishon is still standing. And it's 125 years until the Bayis Rishon would be Choraf. And Yeshaya is already telling us about the Churban Hasheni. Churban Hasheni is not going to happen for how many years? 500 years. More than 500 years. You have the Bayis Rishon is 100. It's going to be another 100 and 125 years. 70 years of Galus. So it takes you to approximately 200 years. And then it's going to be 420 years of the Bayis Shlishi. So we're dealing over here with 620 plus years. and he's already telling what's going to be in 620 years. Okay, that's fascinating. That's how we interpret the pasuk in retrospect.
In 620 years?
What's in 620 years? The Korban Sheni. When Yeshayah is speaking these words, it's 620 plus years until the time of the Korban Bayis Sheni.
But he's talking about comfort, so that comfort we're still waiting for today.
But in that comfort, he's alluding to the fact that there's going to be. We haven't really got to the comfort. The comfort comes next pasuk. The comfort comes pasuk Gimel. We're still in pasuk Beis. He is alluding to the fact that there will be a Korban Bayis Sheni. And that's the fascinating thing, that he's seeing the future 620 years in advance of what is going to be. Now, it's easy for us to interpret the pasuk in this method after the fact. Now that the Korban Bayis Sheni has happened, and we can look backwards and we can read this, but at the time, it's different. Okay, but that is one interpretation. Let us see Rashi. Rashi says, Ki locha, ali kabilas kos tanchumin min kodam Hashem, ki ilu lokas al chatrein b'chol chatoseha. So it appears that Rashi is saying from the Targum is, I'm going to give you so much, he's putting a very a positive twist. Maybe I'm not interpreting this correctly, but I think what he means is that Hashem, I'm going to give you so much comfort. When I bring the geula, and I bring upon you a comfort and blessing, the blessing will be so great, it will seem as if the punishment that you received was double than what you really got. In other words, let's say a person was a victim of a crime, goes to court. So he's in court. One person. Let's say was injured, was robbed, $100, and the other person was robbed $1,000, and the judge is going to punish the perpetrator for the crime. And not only is he going to punish the person for the crime for the actual theft, okay, this is not necessarily the halacha, also the American society. The judge is, so you went and you stole $100 from him, and you stole from this person $1,000. In addition to stealing $100, you know, we have to teach you a lesson. We have to give you a knas. Because, you know, you shouldn't just think that this world is a hefker, you can do whatever you want. So we're going to give you a knas, we're going to punish you to pay back the victim $1,000. Right? Let me just give a crazy example. So the judge says to the person to whom you stole from, let's say the first person in court, he steals from this person $1,000. So the judge says, you stole from $1,000? That's a terrible thing. So number one, paying back $1,000. And number two, because of the humiliation and because of all the waste of time, he has to come to court and so on and so forth, and the psychological impact this will have on him and his family. You know, when you read the papers, all these different stories, which Allah doesn't necessarily recognize, but because of the he lost some sleep over this, we'll give you a knas. We'll give you a penalty. Pay him another $1,000. So pay him, you still pay $2,000. $2,000. Okay, they leave court. Next case. The guy's second perpetrator stole from $100. The judge said, stole $100? So you pay back $100? And for all the Agmas Nefesh, we're going to give you a knas and pay $5,000 for the Agmas Nefesh. Doesn't make sense. And for the guy that stole, it's only $1,000, so he's only punished a knas of $1,000. So the guy who stole $100, you're going to punish the villain, you're going to punish him to pay a knas of $5,000. It doesn't make sense. But that's what this pasuk here is saying. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us comfort, the comfort will not be a correlation, it will not be in proportion to the punishment that we have received. We have received punishment, so you need comfort to make up, to restore us to our previous state. So there's an expectation of how much comfort we would receive. Hashem says, I'm going to give you so much blessing, so much good. It's going to be not in proportion to what you've suffered. It's going to be double. That's what it means here, doubling. It doesn't mean that the punishment is doubling. It means, ki lokom yad Hashem, ki flayim, when you receive from Hashem, not punishment. The first interpretation is, because you have received punishment. double for your sins. Double doesn't mean double in the first edition. It means you received a lot of punishment by his rishon, by his sheni, so on and so forth, and therefore you've got enough punishment. Everything is calculated. Enough is enough. Now it's time for me to bring the geula, to bring Mashiach and Bnei Samigdash. In this interpretation, no, kilaka, kilaka means that you have received from Hashem comfort, blessing, encouragement, double, kiflayim. The amount that I'm going to bless you will be double than b'chol chato yisera, double of what would be expected for the sins, the punishment of the sins that you have received. Okay, is that idea clear? That's the idea of this approach. That is one approach to the pasuk. And now we're up to pasuk Gimel, and we'll continue Amir Tz Hashem tomorrow.